When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I have not made an effort tonight, and it doesn't mean that I don't love this guest tonight, but I'm busy being a pop star by day and podcaster by night, and I am feeling pretty strange.
Okay, it's a good job you've got a lot of support from your mother then, to be perfectly frank.
I mean, I did love you in my house this morning, but you are the queen of giving the children iPads.
Darling, the first thing your daughter does is come and say, Grandma, can I look at your iPad?
Yeah, and you give it to her.
Why not?
Because...
it's not chocolate.
Can I just... on the subject of my daughter, so...
I love what she wants from Father Christmas. You've got to listen to this.
Yeah.
I said, have you written a letter to Father Christmas? So she said, not yet, Grandma. I said, what are you going to ask for? A foot spa. She's five. I said, should I want one of those things where you put your feet in and it's got water and it relaxes
She's
you?
She's my daughter. I've just done a check-in, check how he's doing with the three children. And apparently he's doing very, very well because he's much better at looking after children than me.
He's very good.
Anyway, I said, you know, did you have the chicken korma with the microwavable rice so it makes your life easier? Yeah. Number two, loved it. Delicious. Number one, wouldn't eat a piece of chicken. What is
nothing
wrong
it's
with
just
her?
A stage. I've got some tortellini in the fridge I'll give you to take
oh,
home.
Oh God, tortellini. I don't and know I'll how give you they can I... be so excited by tortellini every day.
But you know, lots of children love salmon that I come across love salmon.
Oh, well. Whoopee for them, because, well, actually...
Maybe tonight they'll eat that.
What have you made tonight,
Well,
Mum?
I've made roasted salmon with salsa verde. So I've got too much salmon, to be honest. It's two sides of salmon, and you put it on a bed of tomatoes, garlic, capers and thyme.
Yum!
And then you put salsa verde in between the two sides, and you roast it in the oven.
Hang on, hasn't this been next door in their freezer for a long time?
One has been next
Why
door
have
in the freezer.
Why so much salmon? Who was this going to be for?
Her.
Okay.
So
yes.
I only use one side.
So
this might be a bit, the bottom side might be a bit dry, but given that we've got so much, you can not eat that bit.
So there's a reason that this salmon dish has been saved for this particular guest.
I don't know why. I just thought it would be nice. It would be, it's kind of not heavy. I thought it is roasted on a bed of tomato. A friend made it for me and I thought it was delicious.
But it was in the freezer because we've tried to, we've rescheduled this episode.
Twice.
Yeah, it feels like more than that, Mum.
I think once we had to reschedule, and the last time she had COVID.
Poor Elizabeth Day, who we are so excited to have, had COVID last time we were going to record. And it was around the time that Magpie, her Sunday Times bestseller...
which I've read.
It came out, and she was celebrating it. And
I must ask her, because it says that Magpie, the film rights, have gone to James Norton Productions. So I wonder if it's the actor... And he's
she
going to be in it. Yeah.
Oh my God, this is so exciting.
I wonder if he's going to be in it.
So we now have Elizabeth Day, who we all know and love from the most successful How to Fail podcast, which is now going to be a TV series, which makes total sense. She is one of the best interviewers.
Yes.
Mum, you thought we were doing well with our old cookbook for My Little Foodoir. Well, forget about it. Elizabeth Day has a huge... Oh, she's at the door. She's got a huge... Well, I'll talk to her about
her. She'll have champagne, darling,
because
I'm ready for a drop.
I think we need to celebrate.
like a podcast off. I mean,
can't wait.
How much can we psychoanalyze each other?
I mean, we just get people drunk. Okay, so
great.
That's
a great tactic, and I'm so up for it. Oh. And also, thank you for being so patient with all the like.
Oh my god, we have tried doing this.
So last time I was meant to come. I had what I thought was a bad cold,
and it was
I
did COVID.
And it was bloody COVID.
I know.
So I was very glad I didn't come. And like,
when was it?
That was September kind of, the something.
It was around your book.
Yeah, it was like.
Well,
yeah.
Did I get the book early because it was my holiday read?
If it wasn't hardback, then you got it.
Was
early.
It hardback?
Yes, then you got it. Early.
Yeah. No, I loved it.
Thank you so
now,
much.
Now I really. Now I've got that to ask you.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's been the TV rights have been sold.
Yes.
To James Norton. Is that James Norton? James Norton.
The fit actor.
So
yeah. I insisted.
Is he going to be the bloke?
Well, hopefully he's got
Psycho Killer.
He's so good.
No, but he's Happy Valley.
Psycho Killer.
But Happy Valley, but also Prince Andre and War and Peace. Like he's the perfect combination of he could be good, but he could be
Jekyll and Hyde.
So I heard that his production company was interested. And he runs it with this amazing woman called Kitty. And they asked for a meeting. They're like, it can be over Zoom. I was like, no. I insist. It has to be in person. And I need to sit across from James Norton and just gaze at him.
Is he gorgeous?
Yes, but he's also just so nice and so insightful.
Is he bright?
Yeah. But he had this reading of Jake, the character in Magpie, beyond what I even had. It was just amazing. He just gave this incredible, like, moving analysis of where he did it.
You were like, sign, seal, delivered. It's yours, baby.
I don't even need to pay. I'll just give it to you.
Cheers to that. Cheers. Congratulations, Muzzle Talk. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Well done.
Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers.
And cheers to you being here.
Oh, my gosh, it's so lovely.
It is, long overdue, this. But so much has gone on in this last year for you. But, I mean, we'll gas and chat whilst we're chewing some salmon in a moment. But you are on Table Manners. You've always been a really big supporter of Table Manners.
Fan. I think big fan is the correct word, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now's your time. It is now your time to tell us about the start of your food journey. Family, let's paint the picture. Who was around the dinner table? Who were you eating with?
Because I love this podcast so much and genuinely came to it as an ardent listener, I was like, these are the things that I know Jesse and Lenny are going to ask me. So I was like, what's my first food memory?
Yeah, come on.
I remember.
God, I've forgotten about that one. Thank you so
there
much.
You go, bring
yes,
it back.
Thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Good.
Actually, my first memory ever was being in a pram and my bigger sister, so she's 4 years older than me, leaning into the pram, offering me a bite of her apple, which I obviously couldn't bite because I didn't have any teeth. But I just remember that being, and I loved food as a toddler. I was a real podgy toddler.
Where did you grow up?
Grew up in Epsom, was born in Epsom, spent the first 4 years of my life there. I'm half Swiss, so my mother's originally from Switzerland. So there's a lot of Swiss food. So we have a Swiss birthday cake every year called a Linzer Torte, which
What's that?
Oh my gosh, it's so delicious. There's like a crushed almond crust, and like raspberry jam centre.
Ooh, yeah. Of course
weird,
that works.
It,
of course
it, really
it does.
So peanut butter and jam. You taste delicious. I love that combination.
Yes.
It tastes like that. Well, it tastes like almond butter and jam.
Delicious.
Yeah, it's very nice. I've just had one because it's just
called
been my
a Linzer Torte.
Yes.
And where did you get yours from?
My mother. As
made
in, she
it.
Made it for me.
Where
yeah,
did you get it? Did she make it this year for you?
Yes. Oh. Still makes me it.
What's your mum called?
Christine.
And was Christine a good cook then? Or a good baker?
Well, she won't mind my saying this. She had very little interest in cooking because it was just one of those additional things that you had to do at the end of the day, like cook for your kids and your husband. Mm. It was like very much that era. And I think she found it just one domestic duty too many. So she never really enjoyed cooking, although she did it. Yeah.
Mum's nodding her head and mouthing. Quite, yeah.
She never enjoyed it, but when she was good at it, she was really good. And also my granny, my Swiss granny, was an amazing cook. And I sometimes think that must be quite hard to live up to. As a daughter.
Did you find that, darling?
Yes, mother. Yes, absolutely.
And my mother was really health conscious in a kind of congruent way. It didn't feel like, oh, now you're not allowed to eat chocolate or anything. But I grew up eating a lot of salads and fresh vegetables, and she never cooked with salt. So until I was 18, I never added any salt to my food. I just got really used to it. And then when I was 18, I discovered salt. Like when other people discover drugs, I was like, salt is amazing. And now I'm a salt fanatic. I just
amazing,
add it to everything.
Isn't it?
Yes. I'm making up for lost time. But she had some classics, which go-to I still really like. Yeah, like a spinach flan. It's not a flanage and tortage, isn't it? Spinach flan was delicious. She made. She still makes this ratatouille, which is really yummy.
What's so good about her ratatouille that is... Does she, like, pre-bake the vegetables? Because, no offence, Mum, I love you to death, but your ratatouille was never my fave because it was slightly sloppy. Those courgettes looked very sad.
Oh, Lenny.
I don't even know what to say. You know... It's a stew, darling. It's a kind of vegetable stew.
I know.
You can do it roasted, and it does taste
better,
less wet. Mm. I don't mind it.
Was
wet.
Your mother's wet. Wet?
Yes, it probably was quite wet. But I suppose I've never really had it another way. And she cooked it with oregano, which I know your American listeners will refer to as oregano.
Yeah, right. I love that you think we are international.
You are so global.
Of course we are. It sounds quite healthy then. And were you fussy or not?
Not at all. I would eat anything and still do. Apart from things I'm actively allergic to.
Well, I'm sad for you.
Sound like the worst and most elite person ever.
But I do love that you thought we were going to give you caviar or oysters. I mean, your expectations were quite high, babe. You got salmon, baked salmon.
She did get champagne.
Yeah, you
know,
got
thank
champagne.
Thank you so much.
Well, you do like champagne and you like going
champagne.
Out.
Me
you
too.
Were Dolly, were one of our favourites, champagne. Dolly Alderton and you at the River Cafe, sure.
I know, at the weekend.
That was
fabulous.
I
suddenly discovered how much I love a lunch where there's nothing else to do in the rest of the day.
Yeah.
one of your best
friends. I don't
friends.
Even remember those days, but yes.
It was just, so Dolly took me out for my birthday, we went to the River Cafe, exquisite food, and we were there from noon until like 5:30, at which stage I went home to bed. I went home and just like watched Married at First Sight and rolled around the sofa. Dolly went to a 50th birthday dinner, because that's who she is, and that's who I am.
You're both equally fabulous, and I just love it.
That's the biggest compliment, thank you.
Has it been kind of amazing for you to both pat yourselves on the back and pat each other on the back for the success of your, you know, the fact that you've got film rights for Magpie, you know, she's doing Everything I Know About Love. You came from journalistic worlds. It's kind of amazing. You're leading not similar lives, but You're on the same trajectory.
I mean, I take that as a huge compliment because Dolly is 10 years younger than me, but blazes a trail for me, actually. And as you know, because I know she's been on this podcast, she's so wise beyond her years and extremely generous to other women. And so I feel like I'm really playing catch up and am nowhere at her level at all. But it has been really wonderful to have someone who understands the particular nuances and complexities of balancing journalism with podcasts and then potential TV stuff. And she had such a deserved but rapid rise to the public eye. And I learned a lot from her and how she dealt with that with such kind of grace under pressure. Because she works incredibly hard. And as do you, Jessie, like that's the thing that I think sometimes gets overlooked, particularly with successful women, you often get called like a lucky girl. And I'm like, yes, so much luck has gone into any person's success, but also you make the circumstances for that to happen. And Dolly's a classic example of that, of working hard.
But, you know, we talked about this when I was on your podcast, How to Fail, which needs no introduction, but we talked about the fact that there was like this moment where you got recognised in the sense of How to Fail was doing really, really well. Then memoir work, you know, it's all kind of, it starts working. You're like, hang on, I've been doing novels before this. But then now Magpie's hit, right?
Yes.
How many novels did you do before Magpie?
Four. So Magpie's my fifth novel and my seventh book.
Do you feel like everything has just kind of, the stars have aligned?
Yeah. I totally do. And I don't think it's any coincidence.
But that is hard work, though. It is hard work. And perseverance and tenacity and all of that.
Yes. And I'm glad it's happened this way round, even though it was an awful lot of hard work, because I'm so grateful, because I know what it's like to write a novel and not have any attention, and to like believe in the book that you put out there, but not get as many people buying it or reading it. And so I'm so grateful to the podcast for giving me the platform that I never anticipated at all. And I think podcasting is quite a democratic form, isn't it? You can just do your thing and put it out there and hopefully people listen.
Yeah.
And I know that people who listen to the podcast have put their faith in me and therefore decided to buy Magpie. And that's been amazing and like wonderful. Mm. And it also comes with a degree of added pressure. So there are more demands on my time and I just have to get better at boundaries and saying no, which I'm terrible at because I'm so grateful. So it's this kind of, so I've got to have a real talking to myself, and next year will be my year of saying polite no's and enforcing my boundaries.
I'm really hungry.
It's, oh, what are we having?
Ready?
I cannot wait.
Right,
so what are we having, Mum? Because I've done nothing.
We're having roasted salmon.
Delicious.
With salsa verde, and it's on a bed of tomatoes. It's a Rick Stein recipe, so let's hope it works.
Oh, nice. What are you serving it with, Mother?
I'm serving it just with shallot potatoes and some beans.
Delicious.
Just simple.
Delicious. Simple. That is so my kind of meal.
And then I've made plum clafoutis. Tea.
Yum!
Well, I haven't made it yet.
So
it's going to be put together.
What did you eat at River Cafe?
I ate scallops and pumpkin to start, which
was
nice.
Oh,
I've never put
that
together.
So delicious. No, I've had scallops with like sweet mashed potato and chorizo. But this was like a similar sort of vibe, but actually the pumpkin came with this kind of, I don't know, nutty suppleness, which was really nice. And then we both had ricotta ravioli with walnut sauce.
Oh, nice.
It was, and I didn't add any salt at all, thank you. And normally, I just find all food needs a little bit pinch of salt.
And not at the River
But
Cafe.
Not at the River Cafe.
Did
and
you then get the pizzetti as well?
We had to begin with the farinara. It's like a chickpea pancake.
Oh, yum.
That was really nice.
And what was the pud?
I went for, now by this stage, I'd had quite a bit to drink, so I can't fully remember. We were drinking, okay, this will make everyone just, well, this hopefully will restore people's faith in Hinge, because I met my husband on Hinge.
Yeah.
He sent us a bottle of champagne to our table.
Oh my God, I love him.
I love him too.
I love him. So, okay, let's talk about Justin for a sec. First date.
To talk about internet dating.
How many dates did you go on? Like using Hinge, or had you done lots of internet dating before?
No. So, well, yes and no. So basically my situation, How to Fail was born out of a failed relationship and actually a lot of failures in my 30s. So I have been married before and I got married to the wrong person and then got divorced when I realised that. And that was in my mid-30s. So I was 36 when I got divorced. And then I had a bit of time being
Elizabeth,
single.
You're about 32 now.
I love you so
much. How are you 30? You got 30... Go on. I don't even know how old you are.
I've just turned 43.
Fuck off!
Yeah. You don't look it.
Oh my God, that makes me feel very happy.
43.
Yeah.
Thank you. So when did you meet Justin?
So I met Justin when I was 39. So I was single for a bit, and then I met, classic cliche, I'd been married to an older man, I met a younger man, I had a relationship which was delightfully responsibility-free and with someone really nice.
Was this after you'd broken up with the...
This was after I got divorced.
Okay, got it, right, okay.
And we went out for about 2 years and he ended that relationship 3 weeks before my 39th birthday. And it was so shocking and so out of the blue and one of the worst periods of my life because it felt like I'd made all of these decisions and I'd ended up back kind of alone without children, without the family that I really wanted. And I was like, oh my God, it's going to take me ages to find anyone again. And I was a bit kind of lost. That's how to Fail started, because I just wanted to ask other people about how they cope with failure. And it's also when my internet dating started. So that's when I downloaded the apps, because I was very much like, I need to be strategic about this. Mm. You know, the dating pool is much smaller when you're 39, and I just need to get out there and have and meet as many people as possible.
I can't imagine
and then I'll find
it's
someone.
Small when you're a gorgeous, accomplished woman.
Well,
was it hard?
It was probably
dating?
Easy for them. it was really hard, and it taught me a lot about myself. And I started off doing Bumble, which actually I ended up not liking, because that's where the women make the first move. And you think that sounds really empowering, but actually it makes you feel...
Rejected.
Really rejected constantly. And I went on a lot of dates, and it was that thing of, I'm pretty good at text because I'm a writer. Mm. I really enjoy that kind of text banter, and then the anticipation would mount.
The anticipation's always better than the reality.
100%. Then you'd walk in, and instantly I would feel, oh, there's no chemistry there at all. And it would be so soul-crushing. Or there'd be those rare moments where you're like, actually, there is something there, and they wouldn't be interested, and they wouldn't reply to your text.
It's like 100 blind... That's why I could never do internet dating, because it's like 100 blind dates. I hate that you could go on a blind date, not fancy the person, but they don't fancy you, and you feel rejected.
That's
what I think is so tricky.
It's so difficult. And in the end, when I say it taught me a lot about myself, I suppose it taught me that very often when someone rejects you, it's not to do with you, it's to do with their own personal baggage and history and what they've been through, and whether they find it easy to trust people, or whether they're going to constantly keep going for the wrong type. And what I now realise is that I was going for the wrong type, so I was attracted to the wrong kind of person for me, and I lost a lot of faith in my judgment. And internet dating, although it was soul-crushing, made me a better judge of what I wanted.
So, okay, who made the first move with Justin and you?
So with Justin, I was like, I'm done with the apps, deleted them all. Mm. I started doing like real life hookups. That makes it sound like it was sexual.
Good
like
for real you. Life, real Carrie life Bradshaw. Setups. No, yeah. Okay, fine. We're going Carrie Bradshaw on this one.
And then there was one morning, and it was March, and it was snowing, and I'd been invited to my friend's 40th, and I was like, I don't want to go because they'll all have their kids there, and they're all married and stuff. Mm. And I was like, I'm really sorry, I'm not going to be able to make it because the train's delayed because of the snow. Yeah. And I remembered a friend of mine in LA had mentioned Hinge, this app, which at the time was still relatively unknown. I downloaded Hinge, and I was like, I'll just while away a couple of hours like this. Justin was the first person I connected with, the first person to message me, the only person that I went on a date with. And he was so persistent and consistent in his communication. So we had 2 weeks of him texting me like every day. And it tells you a lot about the emotional fuckwits that I was seeing. Mm. That I found... Sorry, Lenny, for swearing.
You're so used to swearing. I'll help you out.
That I had been so warped by those experiences that I thought it was weird that this guy was texting me every day. I was like, why is he texting me every day?
Did it put
why
you off for a moment?
Slightly. I was like, this is a bit weird. It's a bit stalky, isn't it? He's telling me what he did with his day. And then finally...
But he was keen.
He was just being a grown-up.
Yeah.
And in the end, he was like, Elizabeth, I'd like to meet you. And I was like, I like this masterful tone. And he's like, I'd like to meet you. I'm travelling a lot for work over the next few weeks. These are your options. We could either meet for coffee, which is very low risk, because you might hate me, but it'll be quite quick.
How sweet.
He's got the kindest face.
He's got
those eyes. He's so kind.
He really is.
How his face represents.
Because I see him. I follow them on Instagram.
Oh, my God. Wait,
I don't follow you, Justin. Yeah. I'll show you a picture.
Handsome, lovely, kind.
And then he's like, well, you could go for lunch and we'd get a free meal, but it would be slightly longer in my company. Or we could meet for a cocktail. I was like, I like option C.
Me too.
And so where did you go?
We went to, it no longer exists. It was called the Dandelion Bar. It's been renamed in the Mondrian Hotel in Sea Containers, London, which just
Which
hit.
Changes all the time, though.
Like, changes so, all, okay, such so, a quick turnover.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I'll just go on this date because he seems quite nice.
He suggests this then, yeah.
He suggested it.
And what's your cocktail?
Margarita.
And what was his?
Oh, my cocktail at the time,
yeah,
I think was possibly a vodka martini, and his is a gin martini.
Okay, so there was a little like...
There was a little meeting of martini minds.
Yeah.
And his photos on Hinge did him absolutely no justice. So I had quite low expectations for the date, to the extent that the day before...
You didn't dress up. You looked like Jessie looks tonight.
Jessie looks beautiful.
No makeup.
When I looked like Jessie looked with no makeup, I would have worn no makeup. I had booked tickets to move to LA full time. I was like, I'll just get this date out of the way, and then it'll be my new life and I'm off to LA. And then I walked into the bar and was visually assailed by this incredibly handsome man. I was like, oh my gosh. And there was an immediate connection. And he was so great, but it took me a really long time to trust that. And I think, you know, we'd both been kind of burned before, and he is also divorced, so it's a second marriage for both of us. And we'd just, like, been through it a bit. So we were much clearer about what we wanted, but we were also, it took us a long time to kind of open up and be vulnerable with each other. So there was quite a bit of sort of skirting around things for the first 6 months. And then when we said that we loved each other, that was it. And that was the commitment. And he's amazing. And he'll hate that I'm talking about him because he's incredibly private. But he really is just like the most amazing man I've ever met. And I feel extraordinarily lucky.
So How to Fail is going to be a TV show.
Well, very early stages. So How to Fail, the podcast, spawned a sort of memoir, sort of manifesto, also called How to Fail. Mm. And that came out in 2019. Mm. And it has sort of thematic chapters. So there's like how to fail at anger, how to fail at dating, how to fail at babies, how to fail at friendships, all that sort of stuff. And I was approached by a production company who wanted to fictionalise those experiences in a sort of drama with tinges of comedy. Right. And I've never been interested in adapting my own work because I think it's a totally different skill set and I'm wildly intimidated by it. Uh-huh. But for some reason, because it was non-fiction and because I'd drawn from my own life, it felt less wild to contemplate doing it.
Yeah.
So that's a very long-winded way of saying I'm writing a pilot script at the moment for Sky, who've commissioned this pilot, and I'm sort of learning as I go.
But so it will be a fictionalised
version. Yes.
So, okay, kind of like the Everything I Know About Love is a fictionalised version of Dolly's book.
Yes.
Is it a kind of similar world we're thinking about? Not world, but like...
Exactly. I'm just trying to copy Dolly.
No. But that's really, that's really exciting.
So there's a character in it called Liza, and she has a job on a Sunday newspaper, and she has some of my experiences, but she's a completely different character from me.
Yeah.
And she's got two best friends, and it's about... There's a whole sort of fertility storyline in there, which is stuff that I went through that I
really... It's really important to see on TV.
I totally agree. And to see in a way that's real and I feel like written by someone who's actually been through it is important.
So are you writing it? Or are you doing it writing with somebody else that...
I'm writing it.
You're writing it.
Yeah, but the production company have been amazing because three of them sat in a room with me over a week and we basically storyboarded the whole first season and where it would go. And it was my first experience of like writing really collaboratively.
Did you like it?
I loved it because normally writing is really solitary, as you know.
Yeah, I did not enjoy writing on my own.
Shall I just shirt serve you?
Yes, thank you so much. Delicious. This is, can I just live here? I feel like we're semi-related because I'm now 18.2% Ashkenazi Jewish. I messaged you about that.
Do you remember? Well, you know what? And I did a DNA test. I got it for my husband after you got it for Justin.
Your kid? No, Justin got it for me.
But Justin got it
literally
for you.
The same thing.
So I got it for my husband for our anniversary.
Okay. That's a great present.
Because I was like, you've just done your... Did you do Ancestry?
No, I did 23andMe.
Okay, I did Ancestry. I don't know why I did that one, but yeah. It was very... how do you feel now that you know that you're a bit Jewish?
Thank you so much, Lenny. That looks delicious.
Help yourself to these.
I feel thrilled because I've always felt quite Jewish. And I remember I once interviewed Rachel Weisz, lovely Rachel Weisz, and she said halfway through the interview, she's like, you feel really familiar. Like, have we met before? And I was like... And I was like, you feel really familiar to me too, but I don't think we have met before. And then I've read that she's Ashkenazi Jewish, so we're probably cousins. I was thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled. Thank you.
So did they say what region you were from?
Yes, like basically outside Hamburg.
Oh.
So I knew that I had German ancestry. I'll have one more, thank you. That looks so nice. Okay. I knew I had German ancestry, but I hadn't realised that they were all Ashkenazi Jewish. And they were all marrying each other. Yeah.
They look amazing.
Thank you so much.
You've got like, you delicious. Have a steak
I think
salmon.
By the time you thank take you. Off the skin.
So, Mum, you've done the salsaverde inside.
Yeah. Yum. It looks
very
so
nice,
pretty.
Mother.
Does it?
Yes.
Gorgeous.
You're going to help yourself to wine.
I will help myself, okay. Thank you.
How can it not taste salty when I put loads of salt on?
That's delicious.
That's very nice, Mum.
That is perfectly cooked.
Cooked to perfection, Mother.
How long do you leave it in for?
It was half an hour, but it was two sides of salmon. Mm.
I think
this is a really nice recipe.
This is so good. This is a nice recipe, Mum.
Yeah.
Are you a good cook?
I am a good cook.
Are you?
Just going to claim it. But Justin is much better than I am.
Oh God, he's
so much better. And he actively enjoys cooking. So during lockdown, I got quite lazy and he would just produce these really nice meals. And he likes following a complicated recipe, whereas I'm a more instinctive cook where I'll just like do whatever I have lying around, I'll sort of put together. Yeah. And I'm also a terrible one for like discovering something I like and then eating that every single night for sort of 6 months. If I can, if before I was married and when I was single, like, that's what I would do.
So what was the dish that springs to mind?
I would do one of the, you know, you get those kind of Buddha bowls.
Yes.
The worst name. But I'd do a kind of melange of like quinoa and spiralized courgette and a bit of salmon and some pesto and pesto mixed in with yogurt or creme fraiche.
Yep.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
It's all you want with some seeds.
Mm-hmm.
You feel really virtuous afterwards.
Yeah. Eat, pray, love.
Exactly. Yeah. So I liked a bit of that.
You can't taste chilli in this, can you?
No, is there chilli?
Yeah.
I do like it though, Mum. It's very nice. Mm.
It's really good.
Well done, Rick Stein. You're quite good. Yeah. So, what's Justin's dish? I mean, he seems to do everything. He's quite... what's the cookbook that you're going to at the moment?
He likes ossolenghi, like everyone else. But
of course, complicated dish. Yeah.
So he does a great kind of aubergine parmigiana. Or it's like... it's so delicious. And he also does an amazing slow roast lamb with kind of butternut squash and really delicious like Lebanese rice with pomegranate seeds.
Lovely.
Lebanese is my favourite cuisine, I think. Yeah, and I think he's also Justin's half Italian, so he makes his own pasta and all of that.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's an absolute keeper.
It's like I've made him up.
Yeah, it is. Actually.
Hello, Table Manners listeners. I just wanted to let you know about my new podcast, Is It Normal? The Pregnancy Podcast, which follows my pregnancy journey and with the help of some brilliant experts will reassure and inform you about all aspects of pregnancy and giving birth. Throughout my pregnancy, I spoke to consultants, midwives, obstetricians, sonographers, mental health experts, doulas, home birth midwives, reflexologists, the list goes on. And with the help of questions from other pregnant people, the podcast covers as many aspects of pregnancy and giving birth as possible. I'd love you to have a listen and please let your pregnant friends know about it. You can subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
So, Lenny, what are you watching on TV at the moment?
Mostly medical dramas.
She loves the medical
dramas. I love medical dramas.
What's the Chicago? Oh, no, Amsterdam.
New Amsterdam. Yeah. Grey's Anatomy, of course. Mm-hmm. The Resident.
ER. Have you rewatched all of ER?
No, I loved Dr. Green so much that I could never watch him again.
Mm.
Who else was there?
Did you used to watch Casualty?
Chicago Med.
Oh,
Is
it still on?
Of course it is.
Your mum's the only person that still watches.
No, I'm not. It's the most watched programme on TV.
No, that's a lie.
Why do you think it's still going? Because it's so popular.
They forgot to turn off after.
I watch Ambulance. I watch 24 Hours in A&E. I watch any... That's why Alex is a doctor.
Maybe you should retrain as a doctor.
You know, my dad's a doctor.
Oh, is he?
And the only thing he watched was Casualty. And he said it was very representative. Yeah. It was absolutely accurate.
What kind of doctor was he?
He was a general surgeon. He's retired now.
So,
which is basically in the midsection.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So not like... What's a gastro?
Yeah, he'd do a lot of kind of bowels. Just a nice topic as we're eating. But he also latterly got into war zone surgery. So I grew up in Northern Ireland and he did a lot of kind of post
bomb surgery on victims.
What was it like growing up in Northern Ireland?
It was a weird combination of being... So I obviously speak with an English accent. My parents are English, and I never picked up the Northern Irish accent.
And then, it wasn't Modern or Patton. My father was Northern Irish.
Are you joking? How long were you there for?
My parents were there for 22 years. We moved out when I was four, so my dad got a job at Almagabba General.
It didn't touch me.
And I went to school there until I was 13, and I didn't have a very good time at secondary school, partly because I spoke with an English accent, and I ended up getting a scholarship to a boarding school in England. And so then when I did that, I would come home every holiday, but I wasn't like living there day to day. And I think it's only as an adult that I realise, and I've spoken to other people about this, including Jamie Dornan, who is like younger than me, but he went to the same school as me in Belfast. Yeah. And we were chatting about it, and like actually it was quite traumatic for an entire generation of children, because we were essentially growing up in a war zone. Mm. There were bombs going off left, right and centre, and it was quite scary. And I didn't realise that at the time, because I just accepted it as my reality. But now looking back, I think it definitely affected me, and I think it probably made me into a writer, because I became quite used to being quiet and not speaking, because I didn't want people to judge me on my voice. And so I think I became quite observational. And it's one of those cultures where so much of the most important stuff is left unsaid. And that's what fascinates me as a writer as well.
What's a memory from Northern Ireland with food? What is something that really bring you back there?
The thing that I loved most, two things I loved, a potato cake.
Fabulous.
A potato farm that you could just, we used to get them in a packet.
It's almost like, it looks almost like a flatbread, but it's
made out of potato.
Thicker, but it's made out of potato.
Is that they the call same them potato, potato farls.
Yeah, well, no. Actually, there's a slight.
It's not
difference.
Like a rosti or anything.
No, it's the one that Gaga used to get.
Did she get
them? Yeah, and you put a little bit of melted butter on the top.
Yeah, potato.
A
load
of and they're quite butter. Sweet, but like a bit
claggy.
A bit claggy,
kind of flour on the top.
I would put one in a toaster and it would come out, and I'd put loads of butter on it and then a few slices of cheese. Just cheese and potatoes, you can't go wrong.
Do you still get potato cakes?
Yes, you can get potato farms.
I feel like they're too posh now. I like the really... I know Paul Rankin makes them, but they don't taste the same as the ones of my youth. The other thing that I loved was the local supermarket, Stewart's, had a pizza bar. And this was at a time when pizza, I feel like it was really cutting edge. It was really cutting edge. And so you got to choose whatever you put on.
Wow.
And I was like, I'll have peppers and chorizo. And I remember that being so exciting as a child. To be in control of your dinner.
Like, I want to ask you what your last supper would be. Now, do you want to go to a desert island or do you want to be on death row?
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean...
No, please don't.
Who wants to be on death row?
No one wants to be on death row.
I know.
If you're going away for 6 months and this is your last supper...
The thing I like about the death row scenario is that you don't have to care... like, what impact that meal will have on you. Because I want to eat everything.
Okay, fine.
But I'd rather, just for the sake of optimism, be on this island.
Yeah, fine, okay.
But can it not be too hot when I'm eating my last meal? Because...
Oh, yeah, no, okay. You can choose the temperature.
You can tell that I've thought about this a lot.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I've just always dreamed of being on this podcast.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, I'm excited about this answer.
So I would start with a perfect avocado vinaigrette. Preferably from the Wolseley, because I don't know how they do it, but they always get a perfectly ripe avocado, and I love their vinaigrette.
I just love the Wolseley.
So do I.
Do you?
Is it basic to love the Wolseley?
I don't care.
Because I love it so much.
I put it in Magpie.
I know, but the food isn't great.
No, it is good.
The atmosphere, it depends what you order, and the atmosphere is always amazing.
They do... We went for I'd the rather 21st, and I vomited it all off because the Eggs Benedict.
I'd rather go to the... I'd rather have the Bellinger.
But that's also the same
nice.
People.
Yeah, it is the same people. I think the food's a bit... The Delaunay I like. Mm. I think the food's slightly better at both of those.
I'm with you on the Wolseley. I just like it.
It's so special.
When
I
you
feel
have
like
a
I'm,
cocktail there.
I like your cocktail.
I feel like I'm in the
Blitz.
The buzz.
Yeah.
Has your cocktail taste changed?
Over the years?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Are you still on margaritas and
I got massively into margaritas during lockdown. I'd never had them before. But I love tequila and mezcal. Because I feel like it's really...
Shall I go and get you a drop, Elizabeth?
Do you have some?
I've got some tequila that I made something.
Probably got like that bloody Jose.
It's got a sombrero on it, Mike.
Yeah, no, that's really...
No, you're okay.
It's like when you're in Magaluf,
I bought it for cooking. I'll bring you mezcal next time.
No, I'm loving this wine.
Good.
Yeah, it's really nice, Mike.
Good, darling. I've got loads of bottles of that.
So,
avocado vinaigrette, stop. Actually, do you know what? I'd start with a vodka martini, dry, with an olive.
You like dry dirty things. Then. You're not.
I love dry. I'm very savoury and not sweet.
Oh, would you rather not have the clafoutis? Because I've got a bit of cheese in the fridge.
Because clafoutis is quite a savoury pudding.
Is it?
I think so.
It's a batter, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
It's not sweet.
So anyway, I'd start with an avocado vinaigrette, and then. For my, I'm going to have a pasta course and then a main.
A pre-me.
Yeah.
Oh, someone's been to the River Cafe recently. Come on.
Yeah. And I'm just going to be really unoriginal and have that pasta dish that I had at the River Cafe, which was ricotta ravioli with a walnut sauce, because it really was that good.
I wonder how you make a walnut sauce.
I know. It's intriguing, isn't it?
Did it have a tang with it?
You see, I don't like eating raw walnuts.
I think that what they do is toast it and then just liquidise it with something.
The other thing that was amazing about that dish is that it came with the parmesan already grated on it. And because I am a huge cheese fanatic, I love parmesan. I normally want a whole shed load. I want a bowl of my own.
Can I ask you a really big question?
Yes.
Do you have parmesan on seafood?
Always.
Me too.
And I hate that. And they look at
you when you say, and you have to say, look, I know it's not right,
yeah,
but please can I have parmesan on my seafood pasta?
Why is it not right? Because seafood
comes... You should mix cheese with fish.
Who says?
That's what they say.
That's absolute bullshit.
No.
Who says that though? Just Italians?
Yeah, Italians. They say no cheese with fish.
Okay, well. Okay. So I'm going to have that pasta.
Give me that plate, because it looks revolting for you. Do you want? You didn't want any more?
No, she had literally.
It was huge. It was so yummy. Then I would have a lobster, like a specific dish that I had. Actually, it was Rick Stein. I went to not Rick Stein's restaurant in Padstow, but his kind of franchise pub. There's a pub that Rick Stein owns in Padstow where I had the best lobster. And with clarified butter, and it came with this delicious broccoli side with like anchovies and capers on it. And it was exquisite. So I would like lobster, but instead of French fries, I would like, I think, potato dauphinoise.
Oh my
quite
God.
Rich. I would have that with my last meal.
I know, I wouldn't normally, but it's my last meal. Okay. So I just want all my favourite things.
Yeah.
And then the continental way of doing this, and I know this because of my Swiss heritage, is to have cheese before pudding.
I know.
So,
but I like to carry on with the cheese.
Exactly. So
see, I have the pudding, and then I have the grapes out, and we just go all night. It's nice, yes.
And I think that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And because I prefer cheese to most puddings, but not clafoutis, it would be nice to like end with the cheese. So for pudding, I would like my mother's Eve's pudding, which is
oh my god,
it was so good. Mashed apple, and then just a
sponge
on top. Yeah. But like sometimes the sponge was like left slightly uncooked at the bottom, and so it was kind of
gooey
into the apple, and it was so delicious. And she always that's my favourite of her puddings.
And what do you call it? An Eve's
pudding. Eve's pudding.
No one's ever talked about.
Is it quite
seventies?
It's possibly quite seventies. That's why. And then after the Eve's pudding, I would have a massive cheese board.
Yeah,
not
me
with,
too.
I don't want blue cheese.
See, I love a blue cheese.
That's it. I mean, maybe I'll...
I've got a blue stick in the fridge that I love. It's Leicester with blue in it. Yeah. Okay.
What was your wedding cake?
A cheesecake. One of those cheese things.
Did we have one? I don't think we... Well, no, I think we didn't have one. We had apple crumble. We didn't cut a cake. I think...
Oh, I like that you had an apple crumble.
Yeah. We didn't cut anything. It just seemed...
What was your first dance?
I didn't have a first dance.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I'm so sorry. Elizabeth, you need
I can talk about my first wedding, where I did do all of those things.
What was your first dance for your first wedding?
First dance for the first wedding was Love Cats by The Cure.
That was quite good, even though the marriage didn't work out.
I know, and the cake was made by my sister for the first wedding, which is like a conventional fruit cake.
So
I just feel like this time around, we just didn't want to do the wedding-y things. We just wanted to just be together in a way.
What is your song with Justin, though? Have you talked about this?
We have, and we don't... I feel like we don't yet have one. We don't yet have... Oh, no, sorry. That's a complete lie.
We'll edit that.
We do have one. So I walked into the Folly at the Pig to Etta James at last.
Oh, gorgeous. Yeah.
And then we walked out to my favourite song, which I think has become our favourite song, which is House of Pain, Jump Around. Which is quite a gear change. But it just makes
How
me
did
so
you learn
happy.
That about each other?
Because at my 40th birthday, which I had quite soon after meeting Justin, I had a party and I insisted the DJ, who was absolutely amazing. It was just like a local bar in Kentish Town, and it had this underground room that they rented out. And he was a part-time barman and a part-time DJ. And I said to him, the only thing that you're allowed to play is like 90s hip-hop. Like, that's the only genre. And you're not allowed to take any requests. And he was as good as his word. It was absolutely amazing. To the extent that my friend Julie went up and asked for Donna Summer. He was like, I'm afraid I'm not at liberty to play that. and he played House of Pain, Jump Around. And I was like up on the bonkette, like doing the rap in a really embarrassing woman way. But Justin has known since then that I love that particular track.
I love that. I love that.
I've never made this before.
It smells
I'm
so good.
I'm enjoying this. It's slightly like a bread and butter pudding.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what it is. It's batter, darling.
Lenny, it's so good. Mm. Coming from someone who doesn't love puddings, this is delicious. It's got that like slight egginess that I really like.
It's very, it's a bit eggy.
I love the eggy.
It's a bit flammy, Mum. I like that though.
I like it.
I like that.
Listen, you know how much I love a flam. Mm.
Mm.
Jessica.
I'm just enjoying it.
For someone who's not cooked for 2 years,
Look, please don't give me the middle finger. People can't see this. Look, the things that people don't see is Mum swearing at me. You know, you talk about me not swearing. You're sticking the old finger
up at me.
Jessie,
because I've actually slaved over a hot stove and you...
That was not for me. That was for this wonderful woman.
But you waltz in and then you're critical.
I didn't waltz in.
You do waltz in and critical.
I didn't waltz in. I ran in and said, I'm really sorry.
Jessie's critique is always... Jessie goes like this. Oh, what do you think? You think you've done not too badly? And Elizabeth's saying great. And she says, a bit eggy. Of course it's eggy. It's got four eggs in your tea.
Do you value her honesty?
No.
So, you know, we've got an idea that, you know, you eat at River Cafe. You're quite glamorous. You are fantastic. Where are some of the other, like, local spots? You're a South London girl.
Yes.
Where do you love to go in South London?
Do you live in South London?
Yes.
Vauxhall.
Yeah,
Vauxhall.
But I've been all over the place like a massive slut. I've given myself to every area. No, but I love
you. You are quite a Notting Hill.
I've actually never lived
in
Notting Hill, but thank
you. I absolutely thought you lived in Notting Hill.
Why did you?
I don't know.
Just the demeanour.
I look like I'm in a Richard Curtis movie.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
That must be it.
It's the Justin story. It
so
feels
do you
like a
live in the place where they have the swimming pool that you can see through?
No, but that's really nearby. And they've redeveloped that whole area, Nine Elms, by the American Embassy. And unwittingly, I was there because one of my favourite cafe is there called District. Give them a shout out. They're an Australian cafe.
Them. Oh, good coffee then.
Great coffee, although I don't drink coffee anymore.
Oh, is that in that like new build bit right by the embassy?
Yes,
I have had a good coffee by them.
It's and they do really nice like brunch style food. I love the sweet corn fritters. They come with avocado and creme fraiche, delicious.
Lovely.
And there's the sky pool there, and I was unwittingly there on the day. I didn't realise, but it was the day that the sky pool was unveiled. And I like posted about it on Instagram stories because it's quite weird seeing, you know, a naked Roman Kemp like swim across above your head. He's got a flat
Was Roman Kemp in there?
Yeah. On the day that I then later discovered. Because then it went viral. Not my post, but suddenly it was just like everywhere. It was in the Evening Standard. It was in Forbes. It was the New York Times. And I was like, oh, I was there the day that it opened. Didn't really realise. Anyway, my local spots. There's a nice place there called Darby's. Which is where I had my birthday dinner.
I don't know Darby's.
It's quite new. So it's Nine Elms and they do great margaritas. And they also do
Christmas lunch, darling.
It's a very nice like sense of occasion place. It feels quite New York-y. It's got nice tile work. Yeah. They do these like
tile work. I like that. That's an important factor to the
ceilings.
Yeah, I like this.
They do these kind of beef dripping roast potatoes that are kind of very thinly sliced.
Ooh.
And are sort of amazing. They're in kind of cubes, but they're thinly sliced within the cube.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. So I like Darby's. I love Brunswick House. Jackson Boxer.
Fab. Love Jackson Boxer.
Love him.
He's fab.
And
so you're nearer there? You're in
very close to Brunswick House.
You're near the South Lambeth.
Yes.
Where's your Portuguese spot then? Which Portuguese?
Do you know, okay.
The coffee there is sensational.
So I've never been to Estrella because we moved in just before lockdown. And so then lockdown happened and we were discovering our area. We were in the process of going to all these local restaurants and then lockdown happened. And we still haven't been, but I've heard so many amazing things about Estrella.
It's always coffee packed. I've ever eaten drunk. Yeah.
Wow.
It is fantastic, Jess.
Have you been to the Canton Arms?
Yes.
Really like that.
Incredible. They do an incredible breakfast martini, which is a martini with like marmalade in it. It's
amazing. Oh my God.
It's amazing. Stockwell Continental on that road is really nice for
pizza.
It's just a few doors down from the Canton Arms.
Okay.
And then the other place that I love is called 24 The Oval, which is on the other side. And that's a lovely local restaurant. It's quite small with a limited number of tables and they do incredible meat.
Oh,
and it's just a great atmosphere.
It's a great.
Thank you. Pleasure.
We've got your
last supper.
Now you need to ask me my karaoke song.
Oh my God. Jessie hates that. But I love karaoke.
So do I.
What's your karaoke song?
I'm a terrible singer, so therefore I rap. So my karaoke track is Skeelos, I Wish.
Oh, wow. But you're very tall.
I know. Well, I don't inhabit the words.
No, fine.
But I love that you said that. Because I don't
first
wish I was a little bit taller.
I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller.
I wish I was like 5'9", had a girl I would call her. I'm better at it when I do karaoke.
I think I can... Maybe we should incorporate this into this magpie. I don't know. Maybe we need to have
how to fail table manners Christmas party.
Yes.
The problem is, Elizabeth, you say how to fail, but you're a huge success.
That's very lovely
of you.
You are. But I think I wasn't.
That was such a good book. It was my favourite book of the summer. It was great.
You are kind of the Adele now. It's like, but do you feel...
Oh, I love that comparison.
I've
glossed up.
Yeah, but you're there. So can you, like, do you still feel like you're failing in departments?
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing around failure, because I've become a lot more educated about what failure is and a lot more thoughtful around it because I get to speak to such amazing people about how they think of it. And so now I feel like you can only truly be authentically yourself, which for me is actual success, if you have failed and if failure has stripped back all of those pretenses and those masks that we wear day by day and it's taught you something about yourself and you've had to look at yourself honestly in the face and be like, okay, I failed at that and how am I going to respond to it? That's the test of character. So for me, it's kind of congruent because I've learned a lot about failure and I feel more myself. And that for me is the definition of success.
But the failure was only in terms of relationship. You haven't failed at other things.
No, but I think what I failed at was being myself and feeling like myself was enough for a really long time. And that definitely had an impact on my career, even though on paper I was doing absolutely fine and I was like a feature writer for a Sunday newspaper. But I never felt comfortable with myself. I always felt like I had to try to be more.
Why? Do you think there's someone over your shoulder? That often people who feel they've not achieved much feel that their parents expected more of them. Do you think it was that?
God, that's such a good question. I think my parents are amazing and they expected good things of me. And therefore, because they were anticipating that I do well, and by their own admission, they wouldn't necessarily say, you've done well and we read your report and well done. They just expect it. And so I'm someone who needs affirmation.
Yeah.
And who needs a kind of sense of someone else saying that I've done well. Because ultimately, it's all about connection. Like, living life is all about our connections with other people. Mm. We can't exist in a solitary space. And so I always needed to know how other people were perceiving me. And that can get very dangerous when you don't have enough of your own identity as this kind of solid foundation. And in my 20s, I think I ended up in a series of romantic relationships where I was just outsourcing my sense of self to what they wanted, and I didn't really know what I wanted, and that led me into sort of tricky territory personally and professionally where I wasn't pursuing stuff that I really desired because I'd lost touch with what I did really want.
So what next now? You Magpie might be made into a TV series, we're hoping.
How to Fail is developing.
Do you the carry novel. On writing?
Yes, I think writing is my first true love.
As a journalist or as a novelist?
No, I always want to write books. And journalism has been amazing for me, but I feel like I've got too many jobs at the moment. And so I have a weekly column. I've actually just given that up. I'm doing a few more, and then by next year I won't have that anymore. And I feel like I'm taking a pause on journalism for a while so I can concentrate on other things. Writing books, doing the podcast, and also I have a yearning still to be a mother. And so I'm going to focus on that, and I need to create space for that. Because I am of a certain age and it's not going to be easy for me, and I do have a certain fertility history, and so that's going to be part of something I focus on rather than wanting it to happen just
No, you're going to have
easily.
To work at it.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And I want to create space for that, so I've been quite intentional about that, and I talk about it because I want to put it into the universe in a way, like I want to talk about it in the knowledge that it will happen. And so that's what my next focus is.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Lights
no,
were out.
No, sorry. I don't amazing. Know. I just managed to get the light to work.
Was that on a timer?
Or it was on like, a timer, but it's not supposed to go off that early.
Comment and then...
I feel like it's the universe sending
sorry.
Elizabeth Day, this has been greater than we could have possibly imagined. What it just makes me so happy and thankful that we get to do this and call it work. I say, yeah. It is
you need to come
so
again, though.
Fantastic.
We love could to meet Justin.
Oh my gosh, he would love
yeah,
to.
Yeah, thank you for being here, just being such a supporter of Table Manners, but also just such good fun. And honestly, we learn a lot from you with your amazing podcast. Elizabeth Day. I knew I loved her before, but like, I love her.
I think I could have her as another child. I also think she should be How to Succeed, not How to Fail, because she's so successful.
That was very good, Mother.
Did you think?
I liked it a lot. I feel like she could be the new Parkinson as well. She's so interested. I mean, look, she likes the podcast, which also helps.
She knew what was going on.
She'd come and prepared the old questions, and she didn't want to leave.
Very interesting person.
Sign of a good meal, hopefully a good episode.
I think anyone who can decide where to sell their book to for film rights on the basis of it being James Norton has got a very good eye.
Oh my God. What amazing. A national treasure. I'm putting it out there. Elizabeth Day, we all love you.
Love the dress.
I mean, she's so glamorous.
Very elegant.
She's got like what they call veja. Trainers, the BJAs.
But then
got this Bellafroy dress on,
and
just like
the cheekbones. Did you know?
Fantastic cheekbones. Yeah. We're not objectifying Elizabeth Day. She is more than just a cheekbone and a red dress.
Absolutely.
And we are just I feel
super
very proud
fun
of
and
her.
Very interesting.
You know.
Yeah.
We chewed the fat. We drank the wine.
Yeah.
We ate the clafouti.
Did you like that?
I did.
Good. It's better slightly cooler than it is hot, I think. They said to serve it straight away. For me, it's better when it's just set a bit. Right, sorry to keep you up, Lauren.
Sorry, I'm very tired. I mean, even Elizabeth was like, I'm really sorry. I was just having such a nice time.
And I've got to catch up with Sherton, so can you fuck off?
You are such a cat.
Yeah, please.
Thanks for listening. See you next week, if I'm bloody allowed to come back.
Yes, you are, darling.
Thank you for listening. The music you've heard on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser.
Table Manners is produced by Alice Williams.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.